Prologue.
Then I'm radio on, then I'm television. I'm afraid of everyone, I'm afraid of everyone.
When Merlin is 10 years old, his father leaves. He remembers his early childhood as happy, mostly. They live in a small house on the outskirts of town, the best feature of which is a leafy, overgrown garden that dominates most of Merlin's free time. His dad helps him build a little treehouse in the sturdy oak at the bottom of the garden, and Merlin spends much of his time conducting solemn business in it with his teddies and his toy soldiers. He's usually up there alone. While there are other children in the neighborhood, they don't seem to want to play with him. His mom tells him there'll be plenty of time to make friends when he starts going to school. But before he can start school, he has to go to registration. His parents have explained registration to him, but he doesn't really understand it. All Merlin knows is that the amount of magic he has will be tested somehow. His mom reassures him that the test isn't painful, save a tiny little injection, but that doesn't explain why there's so much worry in her eyes whenever the subject comes up. Then, one night, his parents sit him down for a chat.
"Merlin, you remember when we talked about registration? Remember how I told you they'll be checking your magic levels and giving you a microchip like Daddy has?"
"Yeah," Merlin says, fiddling with one of the wooden dragons his dad regularly carves for him. He wonders if anyone at his new school will like dragons. Maybe he can invite some of the kids around to see his whole collection.
"Merlin, are you listening?"
His mom looks anxious and he feels bad, so he nods and sits up straight. There's a short silence, and then his dad leans forward.
"Son, your powers are very special. They're different from everyone else's."
His dad pauses, weighing his words.
"Some people find it hard to understand when things are different. So to make it easier for them, I'm going to teach you a spell that makes your powers look a bit more like other people's."
Merlin squints up at him. "Isn't that lying?" His mom had told him off for lying the week before, when he broke a bowl and tried to blame it on the cat. It's his mom who answers now.
"It's not lying, Merlin. It's just trying to protect people's feelings, which is a nice thing to do."
She smiles at him and he feels reassured.
"I'm going to practice the spell with you,"
his dad tells him.
"It won't work for very long. You'll have to do it just before you go in for your appointment. So we need to go over it a few times."
A few times turns out to be an underestimate. A whole month before his registration date, his father starts teaching him the spell, taking him down to the bottom of the garden in the evenings and drilling it into him. It's not like the times his father's taught him magic before, the two of them joking around, laughing when Merlin mispronounces a word or mixes the sequence up. There's a sense of urgency that he's never felt before. His father's face is serious, grim. When Merlin gets it wrong, Balinor doesn't laugh. He makes Merlin do it again, and again, and again. They only do it for half an hour a day usually, but the night before registration, his father makes him practice for so long he's nearly crying in frustration by the end. He gets it. He can do it. Why do they have to keep going over it? When he hears his mom's voice calling him for dinner, he jumps up eagerly, but his father grabs his arm.
"One more time, Merlin."
"No!"
he yells, because he's tired and hungry, and they've been doing this all day, and he doesn't even understand why. Suddenly, Balinor is on his feet, looming over him, gripping his arm in an iron hold.
"Do you think this is a game?"
he shouts.
"Do you know what they'll do to you if they find out what you're capable of?"
Merlin whimpers, terrified. His father's never once shouted at him before, never once laid a hand on him.
"They'll take you away, lock you up in a lab and experiment on you. We'd never be able to see you again."
Merlin bursts into tears, loud wailing sobs that summon his mother from the kitchen and down to the bottom of the garden.
"Balinor!"
His father jolts at the sound of her voice, as if snapping out of a trance. He looks down at Merlin and releases his grip like he's been burned,
just in time for his mother to draw level with them and snatch him up in her arms.
"What the hell do you think you're doing?"
she hisses at her husband, while Merlin clings to her neck and weeps. He doesn't hear what Balinor replies, but when his mother marches back to the house, he can see his dad over her shoulder. He's staring at his hands like he can't believe what he's done. Inside the kitchen, his mother sits him on her lap and spoon-feeds him his dinner, using a napkin to dab at the tears still dripping down his face. Merlin knows he's too old to be fed like this, really, but he's scared and sad, and he wants his mom.
He said they'd take me away.
He chokes out at one point, and his mother shushes him.
No one's going to take you away, I promise. I wouldn't let them.
Despite her reassurances, Merlin can't get his father's words out of his head. He's not sure what experiment means, but it sounds scary and horrible, and he doesn't want anyone to do it to him. He understands what being locked up is, though, and that's awful enough to contemplate. He cries all the way through the meal, even when Hunith lets him have 2 helpings of chocolate mousse for pudding. They've just finished eating, and Hunith is rocking him back and forth in her arms when Balinor comes in. Merlin tenses up, burrowing further into his mother's embrace. His father comes and sits on a chair a little distance away from them.
"Son,"
he says, and his voice cracks on that one word.
"I am so, so sorry."
Merlin can't quite meet his father's eyes.
"I didn't mean to shout, and I certainly didn't mean to grab you like that."
"Have you seen what you've done?"
Hunith's voice is cold enough to freeze water, and Merlin feels her shift him until he's facing his father, and then she rolls his sleeves up. He looks down at his own exposed arms, sickly fascinated by the hand-shaped bruise rapidly blackening on his skin. He hears a funny choking sound, and it's enough for him to finally lift his head and look at his father. Balinor is crying. His shoulders are shaking and tears are slowly trickling down his face. Balin's never seen his father cry before. He's a big man, but he looks so small right now.
"I'm sorry, Merlin. I didn't mean to. I just want to keep you safe. I just want to keep you safe."
"Daddy!"
Merlin says, and suddenly he's straining out of his mother's arms because it's so wrong seeing his dad cry like that and look so small. Merlin wants to make him feel better. Hunith tightens her hold on him for a second, and then reluctantly lets him go. He drops down off the chair and runs towards his dad, and then Balinor is picking him up, hoisting him onto his lap, pulling him close to his chest. He can hear his dad's heartbeat, loud and strong, and he lets the steady rhythm soothe him.
"I love you, little man. Never forget that."
Balinor kisses the top of his head.
"I promise I won't hurt you again."
"You better not,"
Hunith says from across the room, but Merlin can hear her voice has softened slightly. He stays in his dad's arms for the rest of the night, listening to his parents talk softly until he's lulled to sleep. His mum drops him off the next day, but she's not allowed any further than the entrance lobby. So he has to sit in the waiting room on his own, save for the 4 other kids in there. He tries talking to them, but they look scared and no one answers. He's the last one to be called, and when he hears footsteps approaching the door, he quickly recites the spell under his breath and hopes for the best. When he gets into the office, he's surprised to find that it's set up like a doctor's surgery. The similarities don't end there. The severe-looking man inside makes him stand on the scales and measures his height and then looks inside his eyes and ears. Then he tells Merlin to sit on the chair in the middle of the room and be very still. Merlin tries his best not to fidget as the man attaches 2 small pads to his head, pads that are connected by wire to a flat gray device. The man turns it on and Merlin experiences a moment of panic, suddenly afraid the machine will shock or hurt him. But it does nothing but emit a faint hum, different numbers flashing up on the screen at a rapid rate. For about a minute, the man does nothing but take notes of the numbers. Then he nods, satisfied, and removes the pads from Merlin's head.
"Below average ability."
Merlin almost gets annoyed, but then he remembers the spell and keeps his mouth shut. The man then disconnects the pad wires from the device and attaches them to a small black box with a tiny glowing chip embedded in the middle. He taps a few buttons and nods again. I'm going to inject you with the chip now. Put your head forward.
Merlin steels himself as the man walks behind him and takes hold of his neck with a none too gentle grip. He doesn't like injections, but he promised himself he wouldn't cry or make a fuss, so he bites down on his bottom lip. It hurts a lot. Much more than his mum said it would. The needle feels like it's going in incredibly deep, and Merlin can't help but let out a little sob. The man snorts dismissively.
It's all done now, no need to cry about it.
Merlin angrily blinks back tears, not wanting this man to seem upset. He waits for the man to put a plaster over the injection site, and then he gets up, head held high.
Can I go?
The man looks vaguely amused.
Yes, you can go. Just remember, he taps his nose, we'll be keeping an eye on you.
Merlin flees.